February 1st.
More than a quorum present, the time is 1:32 on this February 1st, 1985. This is the Judiciary Committee. The present this morning, this afternoon, are Representative Sun, Grunberg, Phillips, Taylor, and Chairman Miller. And we have about three things on the agenda for this afternoon. The most noteworthy probably is House Bill 17 by Mr. Hewlett. We'll get at that just a minute. Before we do, at a previous meeting a month or 10 days ago, I asked members if they had any problems with any of the people who were being appointed to any of the boards or commissions that we had jurisdiction on to let me know if they had any problems. Nobody, I presume, has any problems with anybody that we had jurisdiction under. So unless somebody now has a problem that they want to talk about, and I hope not because we're just about run out of time, I'm going to pass around these confirmation sheets on several individuals. Jack Griffith to the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, James McNamee to the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, Adonia Harrison to the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar, Lou Williams Jr. to the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar, and Reverend Charlie Dargan Jr. to the Commission on Judicial Conduct.
Mike, can I ask you a question here?
Mr. Phillips, go ahead.
On these conflict of interest, the Griffin and McNeen, I think it's, was this done intentionally? It was only just page 4 and 5.
That's the way they came up.
Well, they have to earn some money someplace along the line. I mean, there's not a sheet here for income.
That's how I received.
Who's the individual?
Griffith and McNeen or whatever his name is.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, you know what I'm saying, income sources is not even on here.
If you want that information, I'll hold this up till Monday.
Oh, no, but I just was curious.
I have not noticed that omission, I don't know whether, I don't know why it would be intentional, unless they themselves didn't fill out that information. Sounds more likely that whoever sent things over to us didn't include it. I've had, from the standpoint of the chair, nobody has directed to me any criticism of the
it's unusual to fill out your conflict that way.
Okay. See, like this Chairman, one. If I might, it looks like they copied the odd pages and didn't copy the back.
Yeah, I think that's probably
okay. This one right here has got the source and info.
So in any case, unless a member wishes to delay the process, I'm going to pass around the report on each individual, and you can either write in there, confirm, no recommendation, or reject as you see fit on each of these individuals. We'll send them to the speaker.
Have you, Mike, have you through your office received any complaints from constituents or other people about any of these individuals?
My understanding is we have not. Is that correct?
I have.
I'm going to bring up something that's probably fairly sensitive. And no, I don't. No, I'm going to just bring it up. And I see for the Commission on Judicial Conduct, we have Reverend Dark. And in line with the goal that he has on his resume, I just would want to be absolutely certain that he wouldn't be prejudiced against somebody.
Other than some of the things that we want to do.
Just because of the way it's played. I'm probably speaking from an excess of caution.
We're going to be Jewish and stuff. Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
Why don't we do this? Would you like to have a teleconference conversation with him?
I don't want to hold the nomination up, but I just want to be sure he's fair to all the judges.
Yeah, sure. Well, we have several options to us. We could hold a teleconference conversation with the gentleman in question. We could probably do that. We could probably arrange it for Monday.
Could staff just make a call?
Yeah, we could have staff make a call. However, in a sense, I hate to make staff responsible for translating everything to you.
Why don't you just call?
The other option would be you could give him a call, or your staff could give him a call.
May I do that?
Yeah, and we'll hold that.
I'm sorry, I didn't, I read this before, but I didn't catch my eye.
Yeah, okay, that's no problem. I'll hold this one until Monday morning.
And is it does not to be taken as a sign that I won't approve it?
Yes, no, I totally understand that. So I'll hold this one until Monday morning, and perhaps you can make a call to him or have your staff make a call to him.
I'm gonna ask if he's got any problems with this.
Okay, what were, yeah.
Sorry, I'm late, Mr. Chairman, I was on the phone.
Representative Pettijohn is now here. You'll recall that several days ago, 10 days or a week or so ago, I mentioned that if anybody had any problem with any of the boards or commission members that were under our jurisdiction, let me know. Nobody's let me know, so if the speaker wants a written report from us, it can either be individually confirmed, no rec, or reject. And so we have had no criticism of any of the members from the general public, and no member on the committee has raised any questions, except one was just now raised, which is fine, so we'll hold that one back till Monday.
Which one is that?
Reverend Darden.
Okay.
Just the nature of the way he wrote his resume raises at least a question in one of the members' minds. So I'll pass the others around. And members can sign as they please, confirm, no recommendation or reject. And we'll take, and I'll do the same thing with the last report on Monday. Now, another hopefully brief note. You'll find in your packets on House Bill 8, the act relating to harassment of game, proposed CS committee substitute by the Judiciary Committee for this legislation. I believe that the committee council has incorporated into it all the elements members of this committee indicated they wanted to have included. If you would look that over and see if you have any problems with it, I just assume get that moving and get it out of committee. If you have a problem, we'll wait until the end of the meeting to probably possibly discuss it at that time. But if you don't have any problems with it right now, I'll just assume that we'll in.
I got a problem.
Yeah, okay. Just out of curiosity, what's the nature of it? So
I don't know, I like the wording in Section A. It, I think it could be improved.
Okay, we'll take that up then after the after we've heard on 17. We'll kind of hold back a little bit of time to hear that. You might kind of be thinking about, or perhaps you already know the language as you would like to hear it. Okay, let's hear. We'll now take up House Bill 17. But I can't find it. House Bill 17, an act relating to multiple convictions for motor vehicle theft and joyriding. The sponsors are Representative Ewing and Schumansky. The prime sponsor, Mr. Ewing, is present. And Representative Ewing, if you would join us at the table, we'd be glad to hear a presentation. Incidentally, the Department of Law is here. I think they have an amendment they would like to propose. I don't know if you've had a chance to see that or not. Why don't you go ahead with your presentation, and then perhaps after you've made your presentation, we'll hear from the Department of Law, and then we'll hear from you again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, committee members, for being here today. My name is Representative Rick Ewing. I represent downtown Anchorage. During the interim, it was brought to my attention by members of the Anchorage Police Department that certain deficiencies exist in the current laws under which a person is charged with Alaska Statutes 1146484A2, criminal mischief in the third degree, involving the theft of a motor vehicle. Under the current law, felony prosecutions have been limited for this offense by its restrictive language. The statute does not allow our police and prosecutors the ability to take into consideration the following. 1. Violations of municipal ordinances for the crime of joyriding, otherwise known driving a vehicle without the owner's consent. Number 2. convictions in other jurisdictions, that is, other states, for a like offense. Number three, convictions under Alaska Statutes 1146-482 A and D, criminal mischief in the second degree involving a stolen motor vehicle. Number four, convictions under Alaska Statutes 1146 through 100 through 190, theft in the first and third degree involving the theft of a stolen motor vehicle. Auto theft in Anchorage is growing at an increasing rate. 1983, there was a 28% increase in auto thefts, and in 1984, a 9% increase. The total value of all cars stolen in 1984 was approximately $4.6 million. We need to give our police the tools necessary to deal with this problem. I understand that the Attorney General's office may have changes that they would like to make. I certainly don't have any problem with amendments or changes that the committee wants to make. I'm willing to work with each and every one of the people on the committee to make any changes that are acceptable. And we also have here with the Anchorage Police Department, Investigator Lyle Davis, also Ann Newell from the Anchorage Police Department. We have Lisa Nelson with the AG's office, who's certainly willing to testify. And certainly they can answer any questions that we have on the technicalities of the statutes and the problems that are presently existing in this situation. Maybe they'd like to come to the table and we can...
Why don't you stand by and
sure.
Lisa, why don't you join us and give us the proposed amendment that you want, and then we'll hear from Lieutenant Davis.
Investigator
Davis. Yes.
Are you taking questions now of
we had a lieutenant here yesterday. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Are you taking questions now here for the witness?
Yeah. Actually, I should have allowed.
We have questions.
Just go ahead and sit down, both of you.
Would you like the large chair or the small?
Okay.
Yeah, musical chairs at the committee room. Let's not make sure is the tape on.
I think. Representative Greenberg had a question.
I want this on the record.
Representative Buehling, is there going to be a fiscal note whether there's going to be any additional impact on the Department of Corrections as a result of increased sentences?
I have to check on that. I don't believe
I don't see one in here.
No fiscal note?
I haven't seen one either. So, but it's possible because it does...
That's my only question.
On that issue, I think we failed to request just more corrections. As a matter of fact, Mr. Davis perhaps had a word to say on that subject, that at this moment we don't have a fiscal note. That's all you've got at this time?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead, Lisa, and identify yourself for the paper.
My name is Lisa Nelson. I'm with the Department of Law, Criminal Division, Assistant Attorney General. Department of Law supports the concept of the bill, and all I have is some technical changes that need to be done to make it clear and make the bill serve the purpose that it's supposed to. Okay, as Representative Buehling stated, the current law does not cover municipal ordinances and other state laws where someone might have gotten previously convicted for joyriding. In addition, it does not cover the criminal mischief in the second degree where you have joyriding and he runs into a telephone pole and causes more damage. And then also there's the theft-related crimes of a propelled vehicle. So what I have here is first, a person convicted under A2 of the section who has been previously convicted under that paragraph. So we have a second conviction of joyriding under this particular statute, or under former AS 2835-010, which is the former joyriding statute before the Title 11 one, or under AS 1146-482-A4, which is the criminal mischief in the second degree, which is the joyriding with property damage. And the reason that I put that in is because I felt that the language of the bill as it is says convicted of an offense having similar elements. I mean, in criminal mischief under the second degree, you have two elements. You have the joyriding, and then you have the property damage. under the third degree, you just have joyriding, and the judge may say, well, you know, they're not similar. You have two in one and one in the other. So specifically include 482A4 there, criminal mischief in the second, or an offense involving the theft of a propelled vehicle. Now, they are put propelled because propelled vehicle is what's used throughout the criminal mischief statutes, as well as, well, the theft, I think, is what you want. Propelled vehicle includes automobiles, vessels, airplanes, motorcycles, snow machines, all-terrain vehicles, sailboats, and construction equipment. Okay, and then a propelled vehicle under AS 1146-120 through 150, which is theft in the first, second, third, fourth degree, and those are all according to value. And then 1146-180 through 190, which is theft by deception and theft by receiving. And the two that I left out in between there, see, in the original bill we have 100 through 190. The two that are left out are theft by mislaid property, or let's see, it's... theft of lost or mislaid property, which is probably not going to occur with a motor vehicle, as well as theft of services. That's on 200, that wasn't in there. But anyway, so we took that one out. That was the only one. And then added, or any law or ordinance from any other jurisdiction with substantially similar elements. And that language is kind of similar to the DWI language in Title 28. And that's about the substance of the revisions. A couple issues that I might want to bring up are that on the presumptive sentencing, right now, under the existing law, if you have your second, okay, first you're convicted of a previous joyriding, okay. Now on your second conviction, under existing law, you're guilty of a Class C felony, and let's see, you would not be subject to presumptive sentencing because you had a misdemeanor and now it's a Class C felony. So it's only in your third joyriding offense that you would be subject to presumptive sentencing, and under this, a Class C felony would be a two-year term. Under the change law now, as it is, it would be if you have a previous joyriding and then your second one now, if you have a previous motor vehicle theft, which is a felony, and then a joyriding, you're going to get a presumptive sentence at that point. So it's coming sooner than you would otherwise, and it broadens the category of offenses that accumulate up to the Class C felony. It's very confusing, but it does come sooner than it would under existing law.
Yeah, you get one free ride instead of two.
Something like that, yeah.
We hope the first one is free.
And I also understand that this would alleviate some burden in the DA's office because Mr. Davis told me this morning that the DA's office has taken on all of the joyriding cases because of this big gap of the municipal ordinances. Right now, if someone's convicted under a municipal ordinance, then their second time around, it's not counted. So then the DA's office is taking all of the joyriding so that it would be counted. And so now it's now it could, some of the burden could be shifted back to the municipality.
I guess I don't quite understand that.
Okay, all right.
I was with you right up till then.
Yeah. All right, let's say under existing law, let's say a couple of years ago, someone got convicted under a municipal ordinance, and then he got convicted today of joyriding. Well, then that second conviction could not be called a Class C felony under this law because there's a big gap where their municipal ordinances aren't counted. So I guess maybe a year or two ago, the DA's office said, well, gosh, you know, there's a big loophole. We'll take all the joyriding cases so that all the convictions will be under A2 of this section, and then it will be counted as a Class C felony the second time.
I see. Got this. Yeah, Mr. Phillips.
Okay, then, where's the problem then?
Okay, the problem is that right now, municipal ordinances, any conviction under Anchorage municipal ordinance is not counted as a second conviction.
Yeah, but if the DA has taken them all, it does, right? Well, they're taking it all right now.
That's true, but okay. I mean, it would be helpful if any previous conviction could be counted now, like a 1981 or a 1979 conviction could be counted.
Oh, okay. I see what you're getting at.
Yeah,
now.
Previous.
Yeah.
This sort of retroactively.
Right, grandfather.
Yeah, you know, brings in all these previous municipal ordinances, and so from now on, if the municipality wants to prosecute, they could, because,
So, to get it straight, you said a couple of years ago, the DA took them on, but those before a couple of years ago do not count, and
right.
this, you're including them in the, as part of that record.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, but not only that, but also now the Anchorage Municipal Prosecutor will take over a lot of these cases that's previously been handled through the DA's office.
Exactly.
Take the load off. One quick question for Mr. Ewing. You seem to be nodding in agreement with.
I agree with.
So you concur in that.
I concur with. From what I can see, the I just had a chance to look at the amendment about 5 minutes prior to it. I just came up with it. But there's no objection from some of the other testifiers. I don't see any problem with it. Clarify some other ambiguities that weren't in the original bill.
Yeah, I have three requests, Mr. Taylor, Mr. Sun, Mr. Greenberg.
Yes. Is it appropriate at this time to move the community committee substitute on as an amendment to for purposes of discussion?
Well, it's not inappropriate, but if you want to hold off in case we see something we want to change, it might be easier to do on a formal basis.
I defer.
Mr. Senator, Monster.
this kind of references Mr. Clarkson's bill of last year, I guess, under the fact that it's been headlines in my community that the municipalities are now getting a greater degree of cost to of paying for the public defenders. And is this really, in fact, going to move these things back into the municipality's offices when the municipality then is going to have to pay for the public defender? Or are they just going to keep shoving them over the DA's office where the state can pay for the public defender?
That's
true.
I couldn't tell you what.
I think that can be addressed, Mr. Chairman, perhaps through the municipal people we have here.
But there will be more
of a burden, yes, on the municipalities.
Obviously, up, Mr. Chairman, because in my committee there's serious debate going on in the municipality to repeal all of its ordinances that subject people to fines or jail sentences that mandate a public defender, and so that it costs the municipality another $15,000 to provide public defender services. So I just wonder if this is going to really, if other municipalities are doing the same thing or what's going on.
Yeah. I'll allow Mr. Clarkson a quick response and then we'll get to
Go ahead.
Just on that point, I understand we have police department people here to testify, but I'd like to have staff get some indication from the budget people of the municipality about the impact on their potential budget. My municipality, anyway.
Mr. Greenberg.
This is a question for Ms. Nelson. I think your language is much better, and I would support Representative Taylor's motion on the subject. But just a suggestion. You are omitting section 0.160, which is theft of lost or mislaid property. I have personally been involved with a case in which somebody stole a vehicle that happened to have allegedly been lost. And I think that I would suggest that you include that in there. So I would ask that proposed amendment be amended in the 1, 2, 3, 4th line to say 11.46.120 through 11.46.160 to include that other statute as well.
Yeah,
I think it occurs occasionally.
Yeah, I was just unable to think of a circumstance, but
I can cite you the name of a case if you wish on that. It has occurred, and I think it's
we'll
within your intent that we cover all these.
Actually, what we could do there is go from 120 through 190 because there is no 170.
Mr. Clarkson, I think what we'll
do. Can I ask Mr. Greenberg a question based on that? You mean to tell me that we're going to make it a Class C felony for whatever this crime is if the person committed a prior crime of theft of lost property?
Of a vehicle, a lost vehicle.
Can you explain it for us, Max?
In practical terms.
Yeah, because somebody, his defense was that this vehicle, which he stole, was not anybody's but was lost. And so he would have been guilty under this particular this section. He would have been admittedly guilty of stealing a lost, it happened to be a vehicle.
What's the level of crime for a violation of 160. Doesn't okay. say in there. I assume it's something less than an A misdemeanor. Less than a B misdemeanor.
Are you saying that it's not stealing?
No, I'm saying it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd agree
but
with that.
But is it stealing that justifies a felony conviction on a second
offense? If it's a second offense and somebody's stolen a vehicle.
Well, I'm afraid, Mr. Grunberg, that what if you do that, though, that somebody can be convicted of stealing a sleeping bag that they found in the woods.
No, no, no. This would only apply if it was a vehicle that was lost.
Well, then you
are 160.
Involving the theft
of a propelled vehicle under...
You could steal a propelled vehicle under it.
Like a snow machine.
Yes, or a car. In this case, it was a very valuable bulldozer.
Just lost.
Yeah,
lost
my
bulldozer.
I represented this guy before the Supreme Court, and he didn't get real far in this appeal.
Well, I hope we're not asking unanimous consent for Representative Grunberg's amendment.
Okay, when we get ready to sort of mark up, we'll see how these goes on. Yeah, go ahead.
Would you like me to read the crime of theft in the state right?
Well, my question was what level of penalty is it? It doesn't say, and I think it doesn't statute work, but if it doesn't say, it's a...
Class A, I'm confused why it doesn't.
I mean, they're working down, right? As you go from 120, it's a B felony, then a C felony, then an A misdemeanor, then a B misdemeanor, and then it doesn't say.
You think that this should be by value as well? I mean, if it's a $25,000 Mercedes-Benz or something.
Okay, well, we'll consider that when we start.
Flag it.
But aside from that, I take it there's no objection to the story.
Nothing quite wrong.
That's all it was, though.
You're going to explain the
reentry. Okay. Do we have further questions? I'd like to be able to hear from Mr. Davis, who traveled all the way down here from Anchorage to address us. Mr. Clarkson?
Either to Mr. Euling or to either of you, actually, there's no time limit in this. The previous conviction language does not have a limit by time. I know that there are limits by time to other statutes, that is, a prior conviction within 10 years or something. Why is that?
Well, existing law doesn't have a time limit on that. I guess I just didn't address it at all.
So the prior conviction could have been 30 years ago.
There must be a common law. I'm not exactly sure what that is. 10 years, maybe?
If the representatives of the police department have a response to that, I'll hold the question, but that's a concern to me. Really stale convictions.
I have a response to that. It's a state Supreme Court case from about 1970 on it. Where a guy was charged, it was under a similar statute, and received an enhanced sentence based upon a 1932 conviction of a 25-cent piece. And they said that was too old, and that was before there were any common limits. So there is a common law in this state.
I'd like to avoid that kind of problem by putting a time limit in.
I wouldn't possible. Have an objection to having a time limit put on it. You say you would or would not?
Would not.
Well, be thinking about what time seems appropriate to you. Again, both.
Maybe 75?
7 years.
Well, 2 years. Then we don't need it. We don't need the bill.
So you're two and raise three.
Okay, let's hear from Investigator Lyle Davis.
And deal with the cards, right?
Who, unless we have further questions, Mr. Ewing. Are you going to stand by?
I'll stand by over here, but I'll yield my seat.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Mr. Davis. If you'd identify yourself,
Chairman,
members of the committee.
My name is Lyle Davis. I'm an investigator with the Anchorage Police Department. I've been with the police department for almost 15 years and been actively involved in auto theft investigations for the past 12. I am a certified instructor in basic auto theft investigation, one of two people. I am the only advanced auto theft investigator or instructor and serial number restoration instructor in the state of Alaska. I have been certified as an expert witness in both district and superior state courts and also district federal courts. I have been involved in this bill that is before you at this time. I first became involved in this back in 1982 when the existing criminal mischief in the third statute came out. with the second offense being a felony. And at that time, I had addressed the Alaska Peace Officers Association to attempt to correct this bill. Unfortunately, they did not have time to do it during that session, and it was finally taken up by the Anchorage Police Department Employees Association's Legislative Committee, and through Mr. Ewing, we now have it before you. I heard some questions, and I want to get those answered to start off with while Lisa and Rick were up here talking with you. As far as what had happened is in 1982 when this statute came out, I noted the problem and immediately made contact with the district attorney in Anchorage and was able to work out an arrangement with him to where all criminal mischief in the third involving a motor vehicle were handled by the district attorney's office. He was able to understand the problem that we could not use other states or ordinances to use for a first conviction on this crime. I also made contact with the municipal prosecutor's office, and they agreed that this was the only proper way to do things. Anytime that they received a case forward to them in regards to this type of a charge, they would forward it over to the district attorney's office, and it would be handled at that level. If we get this bill through, then we are going to take pressure off of the district attorney's office, where at least in Anchorage, where approximately 83% of the auto theft is for this state, the officers will be able to send their reports over to the municipal prosecutor for at least the first time offender. We will have a slight impact in regards to felony intake and the fact that if a person does have a prior conviction for anything under this statute, as we have it written, then we would be charging with a felony on this matter. In fact, just a little note, this proposed amendment or bill, as written by Lisa Nelson from the Attorney General's office, is basically the way that David Cobb and myself had it written up prior to several rewritings by the legislative offices in Anchorage. We did spell out all of the different sections.
I think Mr. Senator would like to interrupt.
I guess I need an education in criminal law. I really didn't like the subject in law school and never practiced it either here. But can you give me an example of some other crimes that change the category of the crime you file with just because of prior convictions? You know, you're saying you come in with this one here and you have a prior conviction, so it goes from a misdemeanor to a felony. There must be some other crimes where you look at a guy's record, you picked him up on a misdemeanor, and then you look at his record and you charge him with a felony. Give me some other examples.
I honestly cannot.
Lisa, do you
know? I work strictly auto theft. That's all I've worked for the last 12 years, and I've basically got blinders on. There's so much involving auto theft, I have not really noticed anything else along these lines for other types of crimes.
Okay, I was just thinking, there's some court decisions here which say that it's all right for a prior conviction to be an element of the present offense. Is that your basic question, or are you talking about just any kind of
that? Mr. Chairman, you know, normally prior convictions are taken up under sentencing. You know, if you got a long string or not a string, I'm just not aware, and I guess I may be ignorant, of where prior convictions are a part of picking out what crime he's charged with.
I can think of one that just came to mind. I don't believe it falls into the new criminal code, but it would have been under the old criminal code prior to 1980, and that was your habitual criminal statute, where if you had so many felony convictions, and say, two prior convictions, your third one would make you fall into what was referred to as a habitual criminal. And these two prior convictions were elements of the habitual criminal statute. So that would be what we are looking at here, is basically a habitual criminal, someone that is involved in auto theft. They've got a pattern of it.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the habit here is a habit of one, if I follow what we're doing here, right? It's one prior offense. Is that
correct?
I'm trying to get, okay. Thank you.
Mr. Redrick?
Just to establish some legislative history, officer. The phrase, and I'm working off of the Department of Laws Committee substitute here, or any law or ordinance from any other jurisdiction, that would include, would it not, a federal conviction?
That is correct.
Thank you.
You have federal, state, municipal, there's, you cover anything involving the theft of a motor vehicle.
And it could include the certain foreign countries as well, like the Canadian.
It possibly could. I have never experienced a case involving a theft in Canada or, you know, people that are involved.
Well, somebody who had lived in Canada at one time might have a Canadian conviction and wind
up here with substantially similar elements.
Right. Assuming it met that requirement, it could include, could it not?
That is correct, yes.
A Canadian conviction or a foreign conviction.
We're looking for anyone that has got a prior conviction for some crime.
That would be my reading. I just wanted to establish legislative history.
Right.
Mr. Taylor?
And then Mr. Cody.
What's your problem, officer?
Yeah, Mr. Fox reminded me, so I think we interrupted you kind of midstream. Perhaps you'd like to finish your, if the members don't mind, finish your initial presentation, and then we'll ask the questions.
Okay, I can go through just a few other points that I wanted to cover here. I believe I'll have a copy of my letter, and what I will refer to is the paragraphs 1, 2, and 3 that I have in that letter that is dated the 25th of January. And all I'm doing is basically expounding on the comments that I made in the letter. As far as paragraph 1, we're referring to the fact that it is restrictive, and we have to use strictly that law that is on the books at this time. We are not able to use, like the municipality of Anchorage has a ordinance covering joyriding, which is also in your packet, a copy of that. It has the same basic elements as the criminal mischief third, but we can't use it against them. And we also indicate that every state in the nation has some form of crime that has these same elements as the criminal mischief third or the term joyriding. And at this time, we can't use them. We also get into the fact that there are federal laws. The Interstate Transportation of Stolen Motor Vehicles, the Dyer Act. We cannot use that against the person at this time with the current restrictive language of this offense. I've already covered the fact that it will take some load initially off the district attorney's office, increase the load at the municipal prosecutor's office, but down the road it could possibly again increase the load back to at least its current level at the district attorney's office if we get into the felony prosecution. Then again, it might possibly not in the fact that it can act as a deterrent when a person knows that the hand slapping is over with. If you have been involved in a case that where you're charged with a felony involving a motor vehicle, you aren't going to get a free ride the next time you get caught with that vehicle, or with a vehicle that you've stolen, and you haven't had time to do something with it yet. In regards to paragraph 2, we've already discussed the fact that the only difference basically between criminal mischief in the second, criminal mischief in the third, is the fact whether the vehicle or whether there is money involved in this, such as the fact that it costs the owner in any way, shape, or form in the excess of $500, then it is automatically a felony. The reason that we want to get the theft statute involved in this House bill under paragraph 3 is the fact that when a person steals a motor vehicle, he can be charged with theft depending on what he had planned to do with that vehicle or what he ultimately did with it. There are many cases where a vehicle is taken for parts or for just malicious mischief, where they burn the vehicle, just completely destroy it. You have the fact that they will alter the serial numbers on it and repaint it as along those lines. they are permanently depriving the owner of the vehicle in some way. And that's why I feel that this should, the theft statutes should fall under this criminal mischief third for the prior conviction, whether they be charged with theft in the first through theft in the fourth. If they have been charged with it, they need, it needs to be able to be utilized against them. There was a question earlier in regards to the adding the section 160, that's 1146-160.
Lost tractor.
Pardon? Right. We
lost
have
tractor.
Lost tractor,
right?
Things of that be. I have seen cases where a person maybe has problems with his vehicle. He will, a snow machine would be a prime example. He leaves it out on the trail. He comes back to get the thing and it's gone. This other guy, he finds it. He fares well. Somebody just abandoned the thing out here, and so away they go with it. And that would fall under that section 160. We can't show that he was, you know, really going to steal it, but he did not do what a reasonable person would do finding that type of property. When you, if you read the statute involving the theft of lost or mislaid property, it indicates in there that a person is required to do certain things to attempt to locate the owner of that property before he converts it to his own. And so therefore, I feel that it should be included in the House bill as proposed by the Attorney General's office.
Mr. Taylor.
What do you mean by that? I assume from your statements that what you would use is the manner in which you would bring a charge against them. But you seem to be getting that kind of embroiled with what the courts could use or what you could present to the court in the form of enhancement as far as sentencing is concerned. And there's about three different concepts involved in there under the way you were using the word use. And so that's what I'm concerned about.
What we have is the fact that existing law is just cut and dry. You have to be convicted of that one offense. We can't use any other offenses to aggravate and charge them with a felony when we catch them stealing another vehicle. It is much simpler right now to, or would be much simpler to charge municipal on a first-time offense. The backlog of cases at the municipal prosecutors, except for the drunk driving offenses, is lower right now because of the fact we are not sending these type of cases to them. We can put the burden back on them and help out the district attorney's office.
Your concern is more than just that. You're saying we would like it all kind of lumped together so that we can bring a charge of greater magnitude against them.
That is correct. What I see is I find that I have a person that has been convicted of a felony vehicle theft. And he gets probation or he serves a sentence, whatever. And then all of a sudden we catch him again, and he's in a stolen vehicle, but he hasn't had time to do something with it yet. And I continually see this, and it upsets me the fact that I cannot nail him for a felony immediately. I've got to hit him with a misdemeanor.
What are the limitations on sentencing under the misdemeanor versus the felony that you'd like to be able to go after?
As far as the maximum limits, what you're looking at on your normal theft statutes, I believe is 5 years on the theft statute, 3 years on the criminal mischief statute in regards to a felony. If we get into the misdemeanor aspects of either the theft statute or the criminal mischief statute,
we're talking less than a year or less. We're talking about that.
My concern is that if, are you having a difficult time there that the judges themselves, even after you tell them, look, if this guy's been busted twice or three times before, you're on for the same offense, we've now caught him, and he didn't get to the place where he could actually cobble the car up and sell the parts, but we caught him, he was heading towards Joe's wrecking yard, which you know does that sort of business. And on sentencing, is he still saying, well, that's just a normal joyriding case for 2 days and 6 months probation and don't be bad again?
That is a problem that I have seen over the years, the fact that we do have judges that feel that a person that steals a motor vehicle and gets caught, big deal. They've got insurance. It's the insurance company's going to pay the money for it, so why worry about it? They're not really out for money or whatever. There's been a very lackadaisical attitude in regards to law enforcement nationwide in regards to auto theft because nobody looks at it seriously. Unfortunately, a motor vehicle is either a person's first or second largest expense that they have. They've got a house, that's your first, and your vehicle is second. You look at the price of vehicles today, try and buy a decent vehicle for under $10,000. Why is it that a person can walk into your house and take your TV and be charged with a felony, but he can break into your car and go driving off down the street with it and be charged with a misdemeanor?
It's called emotional attachment.
My only comment on that was I felt that was what part of the problem he was trying to get at here, and I just wanted to see if in fact this bill would sufficiently address it. It isn't going to do you any good on the first time offense. It may start helping on the second time offense to get you into a place where the judge's hands are in essence tied and he doesn't have any choice but to give him a more severe sentence. That's why Mr. Groomberg was asking about what's the impact going to be on jails.
Okay, one thing that I believe that it will help in the fact is that we are, when I or other people in law enforcement talk to people that are being convicted for a crime that will fall under or be able to be utilized for the first offense, they are going to be made to realize that if they're even involved with a stolen vehicle again, it's going to be automatically be a felony. They're not going to get a hand slapping after they've already gotten hit hard. And we're not going to put up with it as well as they're trying to do. It will act as a deterrent, I believe. I talk to people that have been involved in auto theft every day and interview people that are going to be charged in this. And a lot of them, if they know that they've got a chance for a felony, if they've got charged with a misdemeanor theft or a misdemeanor criminal mischief in the third, will really take this to heart.
Mr. Senator, Mr. Phillips.
I'm going to pass.
Yeah, I think that we're kind of.
I'm going to
do an hour on this.
I know.
This other bill we want to wrap up on.
Understand.
Go ahead,
Real short. Can you go through this mechanically? Let's say I had a prior record, you know, got a jacket on me, and I guess the question I'm asking is, how do you know I have a prior record mechanically? Are you punching the computer and my name shows up, or
that's. What we have is, right now, all auto theft reports, as far as at least the municipality of Anchorage, come to myself. I mean, I can't talk how other agencies,
like
the state troopers, are going, or other law
enforcement
agencies.
Let's say you call me in the station, and then how fast is it before you know that I have a prior record, before you slap another charge on me for felony?
What a person does when they are, or what happens to a person when they are arrested, they are brought into the station, they are processed, and a portion of the processing by the law enforcement officer himself is to do a warrant check on that individual.
Mm-hmm.
When you do a warrant check, you also get the background of the individual, which will show prior convictions.
I'm saying, how do you get that? I mean,
it's through the computer.
Computer and FBI.
It's
in Washington, D.C.
State computer and
the national
other,
computer.
Okay, this says other jurisdictions, which means state, local, or the feds.
And correct.
Does that take days, minutes?
We're talking in minutes and in a lot of cases seconds is how quickly we are getting this information. The new system is extremely fast. It will be effective in the last couple of years. One thing that does happen, all auto theft cases at the Anchorage Police Department come through my desk. I review every case. Anyone that is arrested, I will check to see whether there was anything that they had found in the computer. If there wasn't anything found, I do at least go back to their home of record based on a social security number, and I will check if it appears that it's somebody that's just been up for a short period of time, the last states that they were in, or if I have to, I will go to, they have ways that we can plug in the computer to check, like Western states, a group of maybe five or six
but
states.
The question that Runeberg asked, you probably would have to request, make a request from Washington, D.C. to Ottawa to check on Canadian, because it does say other jurisdictions.
If there was any indication the person was from Canada,
mm-hmm.
then a check would be done through Canada.
But you have that ability.
I do have that ability.
Okay. That's what I'm leaning.
Okay, do we have further questions for Investigator Davis? Ms. Clausen?
I hate to show my ignorance, but I keep hearing the word joyriding, and the joyriding doesn't seem to appear in the statute. Which is the joyriding statute?
Joyriding is a industry-wide term when you're dealing with auto theft. And
joyriding means auto theft?
Right. It is the municipal statute refers to it as joyriding. It is taking the vehicle of another without his consent. Is basically what
but I always had the impression, not being a criminal lawyer, that joyriding is something slightly less serious than auto theft.
Incorrect.
I thought theft is when you deprive someone of their property with the intent to permanently deprive them of it. Joyriding is not that. Joyriding is just, hey, I'm going to take a ride, and when I get done, I'll walk away from it. And those are always have been distinct crimes in my mind.
What's the statute number under the state statute that would translate joyriding?
AS 11.644A2.
There is a copy in your packet.
Person having no right to do so or any reasonable ground to believe they have such a right, they drive, pull away, or take the propelled vehicle of another, and that's different than
that's joyriding.
Theft in the first degree, which is, that's joyriding, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a class C felony.
No, that's a thing of a misdemeanor.
484? Yeah. A2? Is that what the joyriding is?
Class A misdemeanor, but the second time it was a class C felony.
Oh, that's previous conviction. Okay, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Refers back to another paragraph.
We've had legislation in front of the legislature before that attempted to increase the penalty for joyriding. One of the criticisms of that was that that's an offense committed, and I don't mean to downplay the offense, but many times by juveniles with less serious criminal intent, let's say, for which the term joyriding was developed. They're having a party, they borrow a car, they never intend to permanently deprive somebody of the car. So my question is, what percentage of the people who are convicted of this crime, the 44A2, joyriding, are, I don't even know how to ask the question, young? How many teenagers? How many young
people?
I can't
give you any exact percentages or numbers. All I can give you is trends based on information that's been provided to me by the National Auto Theft Bureau, which is a bureau that is nationwide. They have agents all over the nation. It is funded by the insurance industry, and they assist law enforcement in vehicle identification, training,
And they work with the factories in regards to getting serial numbers put into different locations on vehicles to assist law enforcement in any way, shape, or form. They indicate that the trend in auto theft, as far as age, is rising every year.
Okay, but that's not, those are not Alaskan figures.
That is the trend for nationwide.
Nationwide. Do you have figures?
As far as Alaska, unfortunately, we do not keep statistics that would be, I'd love to have right now to present before you. We don't, we can't tell whether a person was convicted or arrested for a theft or a criminal mischief involving a motor vehicle looking at the statistics, because they're all grouped together. Okay. Nothing is split out in regards to auto theft.
Okay, with regard to those that are presently convicted of joyriding, what percentage of those have a prior conviction?
There is...
For one of these auto theft statutes.
Right now, there is no way to show...
So you can't tell us...
It'd have to be on an individual basis. So I'd have to take that person's name and research it myself.
So you can't tell us then what percentage of the prosecutions under 482, if this bill were passed or became law, would be felony prosecutions?
At this time, no, I could not. I do know
that... What is your experience? Can you give us an estimate based on your experience of what percentage are repeat offenders?
Right now, I'd say we...
I want to talk about the people convicted under this statute.
As far as convicted under this explicit statute, right now, as far as repeat offenders, we're looking at maybe 5 or 10%. If we get it to where we... House Bill 17 is passed, our percentage is going to go up. I have one person that's in jail right now. In the last 2 months, I have him for 3 separate stolen vehicles, and we've got him on a couple of burglaries.
Well, wait a minute. How would your conviction rate, your percentage of convictions go up if this bill were passed?
Because we would be able to utilize more statutes or crimes for the prior offense.
I guess I'm not asking the question correctly. Are you telling us that in your experience or estimate, 5 to 10% of the people convicted under 484A2, convicted of joyriding, are repeat offenders under one of these other statutes listed in the proposed committee substitute? 5 to 10%, is that your rough estimate?
Pardon me. All right, in regards to the felony convictions for A2 is what you're referring to then? The second offense.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All your convictions for joyriding, put those in your mind. What percentage of those prior to that conviction had a prior conviction?
I would say we're talking 10, 15%.
10 to 15%. Do you know how many convictions there were for joyriding out of the Anchorage area?
I do not have that figure with me. I've been advised that it was somewhere around approximately 100 people.
So if it's 100 people and 15% of them will be affected by this bill then, let's say, right?
15% would be affected by...
By having their
charge
increased.
The existing statute.
Right now.
But... If we get the rewritten statute, there is going to be a greater share of people that are going to be affected by this, and the fact that they have convictions under other statutes, which is, they're the same, they have done the same thing. They have stolen a vehicle.
And you prosecute him,
you prosecute him under something else, though.
You got a conviction of 100 people.
That's for strictly the term joyriding or using the statute 1146-484-A2.
You both say the same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
You just have trouble communicating with guys.
He's talking felony theft only. You're talking all joyriding, mm-hmm. and you're trying to put apples and oranges together, and it's just not...
I'm trying to find out the fiscal impact by determining how many people are going to get a felony conviction rather than a misdemeanor conviction because of the passage of this bill. That's where I'm trying to head.
That is a figure I could not give. I honestly don't know how many more people it's going to affect. It is hopefully going to act as a deterrent.
So is that the basic theory, that this is, the word gets out on the street that it's a felony if you've been convicted once before, and it deters people?
It's going to deter those people that have gotten a prior conviction in a percentage of the cases. Others, it's going to get it to where we're not giving them a misdemeanor charge when they've already got a prior felony charge for the same basic thing. And we're not going to, they've already served our time or been on probation, whatever. We're not going to give them a little misdemeanor charge when they do it again.
Do you, support then, I gather, the concept of a habitual offender statute?
I definitely do.
A statute that determines what the penalty is based on what you did in the past, not what you did this time?
Yes, I do. In fact, I am extremely upset over the way the presumptive sentencing is right now when you talk about a habitual offender. I have a man that was sentenced last week that I have dealt with for over 8 years, continually, in jail for felony charges involving motor vehicles. And under the presumptive sentencing, the maximum we could give him with 4 prior felony convictions was 5 years. Under the old habitual statute that we had before the code went into effect in 1980, that person could have been looking at 25 years to life. The subject himself admits the fact he is a habitual criminal. As soon as he gets out, he says he knows he's going to be right back into stealing cars, and in most cases, it is all felony cases that he is involved with.
Okay, I can understand the four offender case, but I'm having a little more trouble with someone that was convicted 30 years ago of a Class B misdemeanor, theft in the fourth degree. Which is included here, and then 30 years later, he commits what is presently a Class A misdemeanor of joyriding, which I think we've established is the lesser serious of the two car theft penalties, in that there's no need to prove that he was going to permanently keep the car, and he's going to could spend 5 years in jail.
Okay. When you refer to the time for the prior conviction, my view of this is the fact that when we go in for sentencing on a person on a felony case, we can only go back so far for prior conviction.
How far?
I believe it's 7 to 10 years, depending on the crime. It depends on the crime. In normal theft-related cases, cases that we're dealing with here, normally 7 years is as far back.
What is it that limits you to 7 years? Is it the computer system or a policy in your office or what?
All I can say is that this is what I have been told by the district attorney's office, as far back as they can go. Whether it's court rules or statutes, I cannot honestly say.
I'd like to find that out if we could.
Mr. Clarkson?
Yeah.
It's a court rule, and it's right in there. It comes out of Supreme Court cases, and basically what they've said is after to get back past 7 years, depending upon what the offense is, and there's been no similar offense during the period of 7 years, you cannot use that, the prosecution cannot use it, to further enhance the sentence.
I was just going to say, but that's for sentencing.
All we're talking about here is sentencing on that.
We're talking about an increased crime. We're talking about moving a misdemeanor to a felony, not just a determination as to what the sentence is.
But you ask him what happened on sentencing. That's what he was trying to
answer. I know. Well, the point is the 7-year limitation, which I am roughly familiar with, only applies to an enhancement of sentence.
That's
it would
true.
Not apply to this. It would not limit this.
Well, I think you're very correct. We need a time limit of some type in the bill.
But I'd like to suggest that the members, we're going to get all the time, but we've got the witness here for ministry, so if we have some questions, Mr. Rudenberg got a question.
I have just one question. This is along the line. I'm sorry I had to run out, but one further question that came to mind. We have a number of military personnel in the state. And my recollection of the UCMJ is that in the UCMJ there is essentially a joyriding provision. And I assume it is the intent of this bill that if somebody had a prior conviction under the Uniform Code of Military Justice for joyriding, that would also be conviction of a crime under another jurisdiction, right?
That would be another jurisdiction, correct.
Thank you.
One point I would make in regards to Mr. Clarkson's comments on the limit, I would see nothing wrong with making a limit of 7 years as far as the prior conviction, even maximum, go back. I feel that if we haven't had a conviction for the last 7 years, I mean, the guy pretty well learned his lesson, and this is something maybe out of the ordinary for us to mention.
Backslide.
We're looking at people that are doing it all the time.
At this stage of the game, what I'd like to do is get suggestions as to what members want to do with the committee's substitute, what additional what additional language we'd like to have in the committee substitute. We'll have it drafted up. In addition, we're going to have to get a fiscal note on this. The bill right now is not referred to the finance, but if there is a fiscal note, it'll have to go to finance. It's not my intention to delay the bill, but I think we do have to draft a proper committee substitute, and then depending on the fiscal note, we'll present that to the finance chairman if he wants to bill it. He will certainly have it. But I'm very willing to do that early next week so that we can keep moving on this. Mr. Taylor, I just remember.
You wanted comments on drafting?
Yes.
The first comment I would have is that I would like to see a time limitation as suggested by Representative Clarkson.
7 years, is that correct?
I would be happy with seven. I don't know what other members might like, but that time limit would be put on. That's number one. Number two, I'd like Mr. Grunberg to get together with council for purposes of figuring out how we put in Lost DA Caterpillar or something into this thing, too, if that's of concern to him, because I'm not aware of how the particulars on it may work, but it may be necessary to have that included.
I take it there's some controversy on, but at least we can consider it. Right. It'll be up or down. Okay, go ahead.
My third general comment is that I have never understood, as an attorney or as a judge or even as a citizen, how in the world there is a distinction between joyriding, which I believe is a creation of Dr. Spock or someone else who has some concern about little kitties. I mean, walk off of the Mercedes-Benz and it costs somebody $40,000, whether or not they intended to return it makes about as much sense as whether or not the guy intended to return the money he took out of the bank. So as far as I'm concerned, I've never believed in it. I don't believe in it now. From my personal experience, I've never seen that it was just the intent to drive around the block. Even in our small communities, located on islands, when the cars are taken, about half the time they're taken out and destroyed, too. And whether the kid is 15 or 45, the victim still ends up suffering exactly the same. But I'd much rather have this committee look first to what happens to the victim, and then we'll worry about the poor little kitty or whoever else later on down the line. That's my position.
Further suggestions for the committee substitute?
Yeah, he sounds like it. He's getting down.
Harder heart than I have.
Good. Trying to keep this thing moving. Is there further suggestions for some language change in the committee substitute? If not,
I'd say five.
You'd say five.
Give me six.
Well,
Mr. Cole,
on this guy who's done it 4 years, how far back is he up?
Well, my first dealings with him was about 70, mm-hmm. I believe it was about 75. And that was in regards to about a $35,000 to $40,000 refrigerated truck and $10,000 worth of property in it. It was the truck was completely cut up, parts buried, the box on it was made into a walk-in freezer.
But
the property that was in it was cheeses and meats.
I don't want to cut you off, but we're running the clock.
We catch the drift.
But in his case, I think even a 3-year lapse would have caught him, because he's doing it just all the time.
Yeah.
I've sensed from the meeting here that everybody except Mr. Sun likes seven, so unless there's a motion to do that, otherwise I'll go with that. But,
well, we can
address that later. We can address it later. We have a committee substitute before us. Okay, is there any further comments or questions that members have on this legislation or direction to the council, the committee council, anything like that? I guess I should have asked if anybody else in the spectator section wants to testify on this bill.
I just want to, I think Max brought up a good point about this other jurisdiction. Can you find out for sure that this statute would cover other jurisdictions? Because I think it's good to have that, because we got a lot of things going on across the border, stolen otherwise.
Well, we can inquire into that. Also, we had requests from Mr. Fox and Mr. Valley that we'll check with the municipality and see what this impact they see it in. And then we can kind of sort of assume that other municipalities would have similar, although scaled down.
Yeah.
Lisa?
Yeah. Lisa Nelson. I was just going to answer Representative Sun's question on an example of a crime where it goes up to a felony because of a previous bootlegging in a dry area. If you, it's a Class A misdemeanor, but if you were convicted previously of that crime, it goes up to a Class A felony.
That's what the charge, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, the charge would change. That's the only example we have on.
That's what I can think of off the top of my head. But
I guess, Mr. Chairman, that's my basic problem with it is I don't mind prior sentences to deal with sentences, but I'll hold them until we get the committee ready to do that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Mr. Greenberg.
On this orientation stuff, can we take this back in? Or do you want to?
The orientation, I think that's for our your personal use. I think it was sent by the department for your further use. Okay, we appreciate you coming down, and if we have any more questions, we'll be glad to set up a teleconference if it seems necessary.
By the way,
Mr. Ewing can fill us in on that, but we appreciate it if you're taking the time to come down.
Thank you for your time.
That was why I asked the question. He was the one I wanted to get the teleconference.
Okay, I'd like now to briefly get back to committee substitute for House Bill 8, which you have in your packet. I mentioned that I thought it incorporated all the changes that the members wanted the other day. Mr. Pettijohn said he had a word change or words change that he wanted to suggest.
I'd like to bring it to you.
On House Bill 8?
Yes.
Okay, but
I'm sorry, Mike. I'll move the bill.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to propose an amendment.
Yeah. We'll hear the amendment first.
On line 10. Where it says after the word person, or after word two, rather, it would read, is a Class B misdemeanor for a person to intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly drive, chase, hurt, etc.
The word or?
Can I comment? Yeah. No, he's adding the language
intentionally
and knowingly. But if you do it recklessly, then I think the others would be included.
I'm not so sure.
We were not so sure either.
I don't want to have any question. That was my comment, too. I support that.
It's in the definition.
Well, and if that's the case, then why do we have the identical language in our manslaughter statute?
Because they didn't have such a good judiciary.
Okay, now, do I understand the language is to add the words intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly?
Yeah.
So, well, if the word is or, then I have no problem on that.
Suppose a person wants to take a picture. He knowingly chases a caribou for a picture.
Well, if he's doing it with the knowledge that it's going to spook the caribou herd and possibly cause damage to the calves and everything else, he knowingly does that, knowing what the result is going to be. Does anybody have any objection to that other than we can clear up the legal thing?
I do.
You do?
You're taking your amendment?
I guess.
Well, Mike, if you're looking at it, I'm just looking at it just knowingly. You know, if it was intentionally, knowingly, and recklessly, then you're combining them all.
Yeah. Which means you're never going to convict him, for sure.
Well,
Jesus Christ.
I know that. I know that.
Excuse me, Mr. Trump, I don't mind recklessly or intentionally.
Yeah.
Knowingly, I think I got a problem with.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Because everybody knowingly is going to do this. When you're taking a picture, you knowingly are taking the picture. You better knowingly be knowingly.
Well, we're not,
we're not worried about you taking a picture, Mr. Sun.
Well, you're
going to
end up,
if you're going to knowingly drive, knowingly chase, knowingly hurt, or knowingly molest.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay.
It's agreed.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Lisa Nelson, Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General. This is under the construction statutes in Title 11. It says, if acting recklessly suffices to establish an element, that element also is established if a person acts intentionally or knowingly. So they're included within.
Okay.
So if we say recklessly, we're already including.
Yeah, if he's intentionally, he could certainly prosecute as well.
Yeah. Okay. I presume it's satisfactory to the committee. Let's stand there. Mr. Phillips?
1181.
Well, my notes here say that there are no regulations in defining chasing or pursuing. I know that pursuing was taken out, but chase is still in there. That's my note.
There is no regulation defining any of those words, including the regulation that uses them. They use the words, but they don't. It's not defined. It's a common meaning. You know, it's
Well, I'm just going on what I...
Do you have other...
Well, I just wanted to point that out.
They did say that in the testimony, that there was definition, but in looking through the whole...
There wasn't.
All the red.
Mr. Grunberg?
On that recklessly point.
Well, people are mammals.
A letter of intent or something that specifically says that we are aware of this other statute where they define recklessly to include knowingly and intentionally.
I think the point is that a person, if you know that the person intended to do that, I mean, somehow the police, the officer sees that he, you know, really intended to go out there and harass game, then he... The lesser thing is reckless.
No, I'm not quibbling. I just want to be sure that some magistrate or somebody somewhere knows that we are aware of this other statute. Otherwise, some people who aren't aware of that definitional statute may say, they get into the same argument we have.
What he wants is a letter of intent defining or setting forth this definition.
Just saying that we are aware of this other statute that defines recklessly.
All right, we have Mr. Sun's motion, which I presume is the motion to adopt committee substitute.
The motion to adopt committee substitute passed out with individual recommendation.
Okay. Good. Objection, Mr. Cox.
On line 16, I thought we were going to clarify that permittee includes only permittees for scientific collection permits.
Well, there's other types of permittees, but they are people who are acting in the course of their duties, authority, or employment. The situation you brought up was a permittee under for a hunting permit. Well,
about a guide.
In reading their, in reading this to the game division, I brought that up, and they said, no, there's no way that it could be construed that way, because they're not acting. The permits are specific for a specific purpose, and
okay.
It can't be construed. They didn't feel it could. It would make this language more obtuse to further clarify or qualify that permit, because there are other kinds of permits other than scientific, that would involve this type of activity.
Propagation.
The question before us is the adoption of the committee substitute and the committee substitute being turned out with individual recommendations. Is there going to continue to hear an objection? Hearing no objection. So heard. Ask the members to sign the...
I get to carry the new research.
You get to turn it in that new research.
How about that?
You're on the... they dash to change your word.
Did I miss something on the boards and commissions? You want us to sign these?
Yeah, and we're holding one
John,
back.
John, you got what I was saying. Look at that knowingly by itself.
A question that Mr. Grunberg is going to check by telephone.
Reckless.
I don't know that particular like that word chase either.
Either.
Well, we take it out.
This bill handles the resource.
Seriously, chasing.
Yeah.
Well, we filled this in after we see what exactly it is.
You're chasing a moose or something. You want to take a picture of it. And with chase, you aren't necessarily harassing it. You see it way the hell down the road, and you.
What the judge said, even about.
Is that the same title?
Fish.
Yeah. John didn't want to chase either, because that's the only way to catch up with the whale and take a picture of it. And after
what are you checking? You sort of have to tap the chaser.
Guy.
Oh, that's true.
Keep your act clean.
Just his opening statement.
Good.
I just want to give
this Mr. Sun, do you like the word chase in this bill?
No, I'll deal with it over resources.
Well, you've got our concurrence. We got at least three.
We got three votes against chase, maybe four with Randy.
I have a problem with it.
Let's back up here for just a second, then we can. I would still take a motion to remove that word. That's the thing. I really would like to be able to be as clean as possible when we get to.
I'd move chase.
That's why I brought it up. I mean,
I don't have a bit of trouble with it, but I also don't have too much trouble with removing it, since I think everything else covers what I'm thinking.
The driving and the herding.
Molesting, harassing.
Harassing.
I don't think you need chase.
Well, I'd like to change the whole thing to don't hassle, no game.
You want me to make a motion here? Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that we, on the committee substitute, page 1, line 10, just remove the word chase completely.
Yeah. Do I hear objection?
No.
Okay. No objection, the word chase will be removed.
God, what a different bill.
Son dodges a bullet again.
Again, what are those AK numbers on your...
Well, that's, you know, it brings up this whole guy said, I said leniency and discretion, right? I get the AK numbers for 18 boats sitting in the office. They go out and they cite it for not having them on. We run the boat tent, put the AK numbers on. That's like, to me, driving without your driver's license. You know, you go into court, show them, you get the license, and they dismiss it. No way. No dismissal, no prosecutor. We went $2,000 in attorney's fees, went to court in front of Judge Gucker. Gucker went diggy, right, and gave the guy $100 and 6 months SIS, which is what it should have been to start with.
Right.
You know,
get it out.
There shouldn't have been a charge to start
with.
He can sit down at the end of the table and tell me that.
We're adjourned.
You know, they.